Acts. I want to read a couple scriptures out of Acts chapter 2, and this just struck me tonight. That song that Ryan sang, "Into the darkness he shines." He is shining in the dark parts of your heart and mine. That's what came to me tonight. I was hear that song, and I think he's going to shine in dark places, but you and I have dark places in our heart that he wants to shine into. And you know, that just came to me this week, and I've been thinking about this. Have you ever found yourself over your head with issues that you really didn't prepare for? Or I hear giggling, must be some people live there. Have you ever been mistreated for doing good? And have you ever had to deal with difficult people in unreasonable situations? And the answer is absolutely. Now, I really, if you don't have a Bible tonight, Ryan, come up here real quick. If you don't have a Bible, I want you to raise your hand. I want to give you a Bible. If you don't have, unless you have an iPad, an iPhone, some kind of device, it's really important. And I'm going to keep on driving this home with you. Make sure you have a Bible. If you don't know how to get to where we're at, raise your hand. I'll send Chuck Wood. Okay, or send Chris. And there's no, you don't have to feel bad about that either. What you have to, what you can feel bad about is if you miss an opportunity where you don't have that word in your heart, in your life. And when we read it and you read it together, you get the big download in your life that way. And all of a sudden you find yourself, you'll wake up early in the morning or in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, all this word will start coming to you. And you think, where did that come from? You read it. And if you read it, get a pen or a pencil, mark it right in your Bible. Underline it. Put parentheses around it. You know, fold the edge of the Bible over. Whatever you got to do. And then wear that rascal right out until you need another one. By that time, you'll want to go buy one. You'll want to have your own. You'll want to go. I got a ton of Bibles. I used to have one that I always used to work out of. And I left the stinking thing on a plane one time. Really bummed me out because I knew where everything was in the Bible. I had all these notes. Well, now I just get a bunch of them, and I'm writing in them all the time. So case I do something. But I sowed that Bible into somebody's life. So I want to read this story to you tonight. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read some scripture and make a couple comments. Then I'm going to share at the end just three things that will help us deal with these tough situations. And this story in Acts chapter 6 is a really incredible story about a particular man by the name of Stephen. And I have on the screen that we're going to start in Acts 6:2, but I'm actually going to read out of Acts 6:1. I'm reading some of the scripture out of the New International Version. And it says, "In those days when the number of the disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food." So there's a lack happening within the church. There are so many people making new commitments to Jesus that they were getting overloaded, and there were some things that weren't being taken care of. So Acts chapter 6, verse 2, "So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables." They're putting an emphasis on the word of God and the ministry of teaching the word of God. And so he says in verse 3, "Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And we will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word." Now, I love this here because he didn't just say, just choose somebody that can do it. Waiting on tables, serving, loving. Real servants are full of the Spirit of God and wisdom. And that's what he said. Choose seven men among you who are known, not just say, but they are known. And how are we known? By what we say we can do, or by what we do? We are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And he says, turn the responsibility over to them, and then we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Verse 5, this proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to, that's a good place for you to underline or to make a note on this, because this phrase is very important. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. And I think that's so incredible here, that here they're choosing these men to wait on the needs of the church, almost like a deacon in the church, like even like an usher. They laid their hands on them. They chose men that were full of the Spirit and had wisdom that could minister and could help in these times. And because of that, verse 7, it says, so the word of God spread. The number of the disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. And let me insert something here. Because the needs were being met by men that were full of the Spirit of the Lord and full of wisdom, and also because they were being devoted to the Word of God, the Bible says disciples, converts, began to grow even more, and even high priests became obedient to the Word of God. And God laid his hand on a few people who were devoted to God, and he used them in a powerful, powerful way. Listen, you don't have to stand behind a pulpit for God to use you in a powerful way. You want to be used in a powerful way? Number one, you got to ask God. You got to give your life to Christ. That's number one. Number two, you got to ask him to fill you through full of the Spirit of God. To be full of the Spirit. Because without that, you're going to be lacking. You're going to be jockeying for position. You're going to be dissatisfied because maybe you're not the person that's out in front. But that's not what happened, and that's not even what made the disciples and the work of the Lord grow in that time. They chose men that were full of the Spirit, the Bible says, to wait on tables. Hello, are you listening to me tonight? Clean the bathrooms. Empty out the trash. Shovel the sidewalks. I hope we don't have to do it at all this winter. Oh, man, that's the best amen I've ever had on a Thursday night. Acts 6, verse 8. Now Stephen, here it is again. The scripture is illuminating him in this vein. It's not saying that he had a great handle on God's word, and I'm sure he did. It's not saying that he was laying hands on sick people and they were being healed. It says, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed wonders and signs among the people. Doing what? Serving. I wonder what he was doing in the midst of the church there, because they anointed him to wait on tables. And now it says that he's full of God's grace and power and performed wonders and signs among the people. I wonder if he's waiting on tables. I wonder if he's handing out food. And he's praying for people at the same time. I just like that. Kind of goes along with what I read on Sunday about Gideon, how God whittled down the crowd and gave him 300 that would be vigilant, taking the water, bringing it up to their mouth and watching what was going on, instead of those ones that just put their head down and not really caring what was going on. You want to know if you want God to use you in a great way? You want to know where you start? By serving. By just devoting your life. Where can I be used? What can I do for you, Lord? Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Verse 9, opposition arose. Hello. However, from the members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Sicilia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. Verse 10, but they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. And then they secretly persuaded some men to say, we have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law, and they seized Stephen, brought him before the Sanhedrin, and they produced false witnesses who testified, this fellow never stopped speaking against the holy place and against the law. They were trying to fit him into this mold, that the things that he was preaching about Jesus and some of the Jews, that they didn't like it, and so they wanted to shut him down. They wanted to shut him up. They were watching him perform miracles. He was serving. He was showing love. He was full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit, and they were doing everything they could. And then the Bible says in Acts 7, and you really should read these two chapters, because the Bible says, then the high priest asked Stephen, are these charges true? And Stephen didn't just start off with saying, no, they're not true. This, he goes through in this whole chapter in verse 7 up to where we're going to begin to read tonight. He begins to tell the priest how way back, even with Abraham and Moses, how they denounced them and how they didn't believe, and with Joseph. And we could keep on reading that into that whole chapter. And up in verse 35, he says, this is the same Moses that they had rejected with their words, who you made you ruler and judge. And so Stephen is going all through this litany of how they have rejected. And he comes up to verse 48. He says, however, the Most High does not live in houses made by human hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord, or where will my resting place be? This is Stephen telling the priest this after they were charging him with blasphemy. He says, has not my hand made all these things? You, verse 51, you stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. He tells them everything going back to the days of Abraham right up to where he is now. He said, you're just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. And that is synonymous with humanity that rejects the purposes of God in their life, that they reject and resist the working of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Verse 52, was there ever a prophet your ancestors did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and murdered him. They're saying, Jesus has come. You even murdered him. Verse 53, you have received the law that was given through angels, but you have not obeyed it. Verse 54 says, and when the members of the Sanhedrin, the priests, when they heard this, they were furious and they gnashed their teeth at him. I just get a picture of that. It's kind of fun. I can just imagine all these people around them just... You ever had anybody gnash their teeth at you? Listen to this, verse 55. Here it is again. Remember, I told you to remember this. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit. Look at that. Watch what's coming, though. Watch what's coming. This is powerful. I'm going to read just a little bit more, give you these three things and be done. But listen to me now. Listen to the Spirit of God. Verse 55. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, he looked up to heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. There's a lot of people here tonight. You say, man, I'd like that experience. Well, stay with me, because you're going to find out what took place. Verse 56, he said, look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Here Stephen is doing good. Here, Stephen has been serving. He's been giving his life. He's been faithful. He's full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. They covered their ears and they're yelling at him. They rushed him. They dragged him out of the city and they began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats, at the feet of a young man named Saul. You know who Saul became? The Apostle Paul. This is why it's so important to read the word. I'm going to show you a verse of scripture that Paul talked about later on as a result of this. Verse 59, while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Verse 60, then he fell on his knees. He cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. What did Stephen do here when he was faced with difficult people in an unreasonable situation? You know, I want to just pause here just for a minute. I want to challenge every one of us tonight. What do you do when that happens? You're serving, you're giving. Yeah, I had somebody call me this week, upset because they gave to an individual and the individual didn't do what they wanted them to. And let me tell you this. Let me just insert this here. That if you give something to somebody, if you give them something and they don't do what you hoped, you didn't give it in the name of the Lord. You gave it in the name of you. And if you give it in the name of you, you got your reward and you're going to get back at the other end of it what it meant. But if you give something to someone or something in the name of the Lord, praise the Lord. Let it go. Don't let that bother you. Because if you do it any other way, my brother and sister, it's going to bother you. So what did Stephen do when he was faced with this? I want to just give you three thoughts on this. Acts 7:55, the Bible says he looked up. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and he saw the glory of God. If you were to gauge where you are in that when difficulty comes to you, when hardship, when somebody disappoints you, when you've been mistreated, when you've given all, if you were to gauge between 1 and 10 how you would react, 1 being you'd be on top of the world, you'd handle it, or 10 being you'd be the worst, where would you be? And now, I want you to think about that, and let me pause this to you. If I had a lawyer call you today, maybe your own lawyer, if you had one, or any lawyer, called you up and told you you were being sued. You don't even know why, but an attorney, hello, I'm attorney so-and-so. I want you to know I filed papers today, you're being sued. And then on top of that, an IRS agent called you up, said, sir, ma'am, I just have discovered that you have filed faulty tax returns and we're going to audit you for the next 10 years. If your doctor called you and said you got negative test results back, it doesn't look good, you haven't got long to live. One, if not all of them, would capture your attention. And then if I called you a day later and said to you, ha-ha, I was just joking with you, you'd want to beat me into a banana for messing with you, and then there'd be a sign of relief. So in the middle of what I was telling you, when I first asked you how you dealt with that, would you be a 1 or a 10? And then when I told you all those, the lawyer coming against you, the IRS agent, your doctor, where would that put you? Would you move from 1 maybe up to 10? You're nervous. Your attention has been focused on all these negative things happen. And then when I called you, stay with me on this because this is important. When I called you and I told you, I was just joking, although you'd be upset at me, that number would then swing again to a 1. And you'd be a relief. You'd be a 1 or a 2. You'd be You'd maybe be relieved after you beat me up or something, but you'd be freer. The only change that happened was the perspective that you had received in your life. Because nothing had changed, only your perspective on how you heard it, how you received it. Your perspective completely changed because your future happiness and your fulfillment depends on what you're looking at today. And the Bible says Stephen looked up. When you're in a tough situation, you have to look up. Because in the midst of a crisis, even for a believer, in that moment, when you look up to him, there's an element of grace that comes into your life that helps you overcome whatever it is you're dealing with. Ridicule, criticism, somebody hurt you, you got unforgiveness. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You've got to deal with that thing of unforgiveness. And I've met Christians, they've known the Lord for decades, and they think they can manage a level of unforgiveness. Let me tell you tonight, you can't manage it. You got to release it from your heart and your life completely. And Stephen says, you got to look up. If we don't run away from God in a difficult situation, and many times people do that. What's the use? I served him. I gave. That preacher said if I give, I'd get blessed. I'm not blessed. My car broke down. My furnace broke. My cat got run over. What good is it? Stephen says, look up. Look up. Run to him. The Bible says, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God. I wonder tonight if you're in a tough spot, that if you would pause and look up to him, if that would change. Paul, the Bible says, Saul, Paul, the apostle Paul, later writes in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, he says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I wonder if Paul is writing that because of what he saw Stephen doing at the last moment when he is being stoned to death. Stephen didn't fuss. He didn't complain. He didn't say, God, why are you doing this to me? Why me? Why is this happening to me? Just as a side note, why not you? Why not you? I'm not speaking any negativity on you, but it rains on the just and the unjust. Blessing comes to the good and the bad. There's nothing, we don't have any special thing. God is here to help us. But Paul says, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. Like Stephen did, he looked up, and Paul saw that and writes about it in Colossians later. I wonder if he is writing that. Yeah, I remember the day that Stephen was stoned to death. He didn't murmur and complain, but he looked up to God and saw him. When you look up in the midst of crisis, the grace of God comes to you, and you see Jesus standing at the right hand of his Father. Come on tonight. When you're in a tough place, look up. Set your mind on things up, not on things below. Get your mind off the things here on the earth and get them up where God is. Number two, you got to look ahead. You will lose ground if you look around. Peter, they were in a boat, heard, and it was the waves were crashing. It was in a tough spot, and all of a sudden he looks. Here's Jesus. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. Peter pops out of the boat and starts making his way, trucking to Jesus. And what happened? The Bible says, when he began to see the waves and the wind, and he assessed his situation in an earthly manner, what happened? He began to suck water. You got to look ahead, my brothers and sisters. We can have powerful times of worship and prayer. And maybe even moments where God is revealing something to us in a powerful way. But if we leave that and we have to walk out into the world and we let all the stuff in the world come at us, we'll begin to sink. Stephen could have looked around, but instead he looked up and he looked ahead and he looked at God. He said, look at what I see. Verse 56 says, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Wow. This is a powerful verse here. I love this. Stephen. I mean, I feel bad what happened there, but I love the scripture here. 2 Corinthians 4:17. It says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So look at verse 18. We fix our eyes not on what is seen. Some of you, you got some things going on. And if you keep on looking at it, all it does is get bigger. Come on. He says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen, man, it's eternal. Hallelujah tonight. It's eternal. And over on the side, when Stephen was beginning to be stoned, there stands Saul, who became Paul. And he's understanding this. And later on, he's penning these scriptures. And I wonder, I just want to step out a little bit and wonder if he's remembering what happened to Stephen. Not the preacher, the servant. The guy that was called to wait on tables, clean the trash can, clean the toilet, shovel the parking lot, work in the sound booth, work in the nursery, work in jam, big kids, young adults, work all over in the music. God using him and affecting what would happen for eternity. My goodness, that is mind-boggling to me. We are here tonight talking about it because of Stephen's devotion to God. He looked up, he looked ahead, and last, he looked back. He didn't look back on and start lamenting on over what he missed or what he hoped would have happened to him. Oh, I wish I would have done this, and I wish I... And if I didn't serve, and if I wasn't in this place, I wouldn't be here now. You think about what people would have said. I like to kind of read beyond what we see. What would natural humanity say mostly at a time like this? Well, God, I served you, and look at what I'm going through. Look at what I'm... He didn't look back at that. You know what he looked back at? He was so full of love and so full of the Holy Spirit that while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed. The Bible says he falls on his knees and he cries out, Lord, don't hold this sin against them. Dear God. Is that working in you? Because I'm not sure it's 100% got a hold of me yet. I'm not sure if I'd be standing there being pelted with stones and just fall on my knees ready to take my last breath. I'd be wondering where my 45 was and all the... I mean, I'd be wanting to retaliate. Look at Stephen, the servant. Fell on his knees and cries, Lord, don't hold this against them. And when he had said that, he fell asleep. When we forgive, do we put parameters on people? Lord, if they'll do this or do that. Lord, if they'll tell me that they wronged me, then I'll forgive them. Do we do that? Is that what we're supposed to do? Help us, Lord. Oh, I got so convicted today. When someone has hurt you, do you still have a twinge in you when you see them? Yes. Do you still, when you see them, and they're over here, and you're moving in that direction, you see them, do you head in the opposite way? Don't shout me down. Go ahead. You listening to me right now? Stephen said, Lord, forgive them. Don't hold it against them. I don't know if you're sensing God's Holy Spirit in this. If you're sitting there and saying, well, I got this all handled. I got to watch what I want to say right now because you ain't got nothing handled. You're deceived. Someone has hurt you. Maybe you've been serving. You want to know how many people over the years that said, I just want God to use me. Okay, we want you to do this and that. And because it didn't go their way, they got mad and just jacked out. Like, hey, what happened to, I thought you, well, no, you didn't do it the way I wanted it. Is that what serving is? Is that what it is? Or is it God, here I am. Even if it comes down to me giving my life for you. Can I do that? Come on. Is anybody hearing this tonight? Or did I put this together just for me? Have you forgiven those who have thrown stones at you? My goodness. Number one, look up to Jesus. Focus on him. Number two, look ahead. Don't get your eyes on other things or other people. Number three. Look back. I just want to sow this in. Do you have a grudge against anybody tonight? Are you holding something against somebody tonight? Because if you are, can I just give this to you? You're not full of the Holy Spirit. Because if you were, and that's what we need. Amen. Full of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you feel this way right now, but if you do, I just want to take just a few minutes. I didn't premeditate this. I didn't think about this ahead of time. I don't want any music. I don't want anything. I just want, if you're in a position where you need to move past some of this stuff, I just want you to get out of your seat and come stand down here tonight. We're going to have a word of prayer together. And I don't know about you, but I need to make some radical moves in my life to make this happen. I'm just going to pray together. Well, listen, whether you come or not, you're not going to change me. I'm not looking for, oh, I hope a whole bunch of people come. I don't care if anybody comes. I'm here. But I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the Lord to take us higher to another level. Man, I've had people throw stones at me. I read this today and I'm, you know, when you serve the Lord, when you give your life to Christ and you're serving in the ministry, I mean, the enemy makes his plan to put a target on you all the time. If you're family, father, mom, let me say this to dads. You think you can manage that? You're going to see it pop up in your children. Thank you, Jesus. If you're coming, you're coming. If you're not, that's it. So God, just lift up your hand to him right now. I just ask you, Lord, tonight. God, help us to forgive those. Help us to look up. Help us to look ahead. Help us to look back. Help us to be free, God, in Jesus' name. I'm not saying that we just let people do whatever they want to us. I don't believe that's your plan and your desire. But, Lord, you want us to live and be free. So, God, I'm just asking you for that tonight. We need your help in that. God, each one that has come, we submit our hearts, our wills, our lives to you, God. Let it not take over in our hearts. Let it not take over in our lives. And God, tonight, we just commit to you afresh and anew that we will serve you. And Lord, when we ask you to use us, have your way in us, God. Have your way in us. Even if it's uncomfortable, I don't think you've called any of us to be stoned. But even if we are, I pray that our heart will be right before you. God, thank you for your house. Thank you for the word of the living God tonight. Bless and use this people. I pray that for each one that came up here tonight, that there will be a waterfall happen in their life this week in a way that they will point back to the working of your Holy Spirit in their life tonight and say, look what the Lord has done. We thank you for it. Peace, blessing, favor, and a release from anything that we're holding against anyone tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everyone said amen. I love you a lot. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen.